Dessert Before Breakfast, the podcast where we do TV finales through the eyes of someone that's never watched the show. I'm Mike Derval, and I've seen none of Haunting of... What was it?
I knew this was going to happen.
I'm Melanie Germain, and I've seen none of Haunting of... Hill House?
Sure.
Bly Manor.
Hill or Bly Manor House.
Hill... What's the title?
Anyway, I'm special guest star Michelle Del Mundo, and I've seen every single episode of Haunting of Bly Manor.
Ah, it was the Bly Manor one.
Yeah.
Yeah, but also Hill House.
Also Hill House. I've seen that too.
Yes, yeah. But we're looking at Bly Manor today, which are two...
Oh, are they different?
Yes.
I thought that was literally the same show, but like they had different names. Like it was one of the shows with the colon or whatever.
It's an anthology series, so same cast-ish. But completely different storyline, not related at all.
Like American Horror Story.
Like American Horror Story.
Horror.
Say it again.
Okay, yeah.
Say it again. Horror? Say it better.
Horror.
Horror.
Horror. Horror. You know what? I think it's charming the way you pronounce horror.
Thanks.
I think that's great.
Sure you think it's great.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, it's a way to say it for sure, yeah.
It's like a fingerprint. Everyone's unique.
Uh-huh.
You guys are being so mean to me.
I'm not.
Oh, say it right, Melanie. I'm kidding. I'm sorry. I'm a guest. Oh my gosh, my manners. Oh my gosh.
Wow.
Oh yeah. Speaking of you being a guest and being here.
Hi.
Welcome, Michelle Del Mundo.
Yeah, welcome.
I heard that you have a podcast that our very Melanie Germain was on at one point. Mm-hmm. Do you want to talk about that?
My friend Alice and I have a podcast called School of Love, and there we learn and sort of not really teach all things that have to do with love. So we had an episode about horoscopes. We had an episode about, oh my gosh, that's the only one I remember. What else? we talk about
long distance relationships.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's currently in one. So it was a good time. And we also had just the one with Melanie. We didn't really have a topic, honestly. We just let her go off, and you know, that's a whole thing. That's an episode content. It worked out.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure we were talking about labels. That was the topic.
We started talking about labels, but it just teetered off into who knows.
It's called like lunchtime or something. I don't know.
Yeah, because nothing can put a label on whatever was talked about.
Well, great.
Mm-hmm.
Hi. How are you?
Yeah. I'm happy, actually. So that's
good.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It's a new emotion.
Oh. Yeah, did you download it earlier today?
No, I just got the update.
Mike, do you know how Michelle and I know each other?
I don't, actually.
Michelle was my boss.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She was really mean to me.
No, I was in a different place. And then Melanie strutted on into the workplace and changed my whole life. And now I feel emotions like happiness. Wow.
I really like the story of how we met. I got hired. Apparently, I wasn't the first choice, but I got hired. And then I found Michelle very interesting. So I invited her for dinner one time, which she declined. And then I kept inviting her to dinner and she kept declining. So I kind of just wore her down until she said yes. And then I had a new friend. Your excuse for not going is because you don't like eating in public or something.
Well, yeah. And also you were a stranger. Well, yeah, the eating part also. Yeah. Makes me sick. I don't know. I'm working on it, though. I've eaten ice cream with people this summer. So, you know. Getting there.
Nice.
Also, if there's like, you know, an appropriate time to not eat out, it's now. So
true.
Good for you, I guess.
Yeah, ahead of the game.
Well, okay, this was like, I asked her at like pre-pandemic, okay?
I feel like every story you tell about me to your friends, it makes me kind of look like an asshole. No, not even kind of. It like fully makes me, you know, if you were to say story.
It doesn't make you look like an asshole. It makes you look badass because you're just like,
I don't know.
You're getting a Melanie invitation right now and you're declining on me. it only makes me want you more. Like, it's just, you played me. I'm pretty sure you're the one who played me in that situation.
I don't know if playing happened, because, like, how can you play if you don't know you're in the game?
I see you, I think you're feigning innocence right now is what is going on. I think you actually knew what you were doing. You were like, this person wants to go for dinner with me. Pshaw, I'm going to say no. Then she'll come back and then we'll just keep doing this and then I'll snatch her up.
Wow. I like that you think I have a really big brain like that.
Okay, sorry. We got off topic.
So what do you guys know about The Haunting on Bly Manor? I mean, you hardly knew the title, so I'm assuming not much.
Yeah, I thought it was that other show. Uh-huh. I didn't know that they were an anthology series.
I knew it was an anthology series. I didn't know that it shared cast members. That's interesting. Although we probably won't really talk about that much in this recap. I don't know. Maybe.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it's the only thing I'm going to talk about now that you prompted me.
Oh, yeah.
Goes against the grain.
I know that it's a horror. Uh-huh. That's about it. So what I'm thinking is that there's a family that goes to the manor and it's going to be like all scary and there's going to be ghosts. And I'm really bad with horror.
I'm not great with horror. I prefer horror comedies, mm-hmm. To actual like legit horror, but I've actually warmed up to horror in more recent years because I really enjoyed like Get Out and A Quiet Place and a few others. So like I am starting to more warm up to horror, but I'm still not like, I don't enjoy being scared. So I am kind of curious how I will feel about this show in particular, but it's worth trying out, sure.
Okay.
Definitely interested.
I'm terrified.
No. You guys are going to be completely safe.
Is it like jump scares? Don't tell me. Don't answer that. But is it though?
Don't tell us. Don't. No, we need to be uncertain about how safe we're going to be, Michelle.
Yeah.
It's subjective, you know?
Fun fact, I've also played a horror game with Michelle.
Yeah.
And when scary stuff happened, she did nothing. It's on Twitch. Or is it not on Twitch anymore? I don't know.
They wiped it. It was too graphic.
Oh, hilarious.
We were not the game. But it's yeah, I don't know. I crave fear, but it just doesn't happen naturally to me. So this is just a good little peaceful watch to me. So I don't know how safe you guys are, but I'm going to say you're safe because you're with me. It'll cancel out.
Okay. Can I request that we all have our cameras on for this?
Okay.
And I'm going to turn all my lights off just to get myself in the mood. But I'm also going to be holding something so that I can hug it.
Okay,
cool. I'm terrified, guys. My heart is like, oh, okay, I'm going to get my pillow.
All right, well, we're going to stream the final episode of Haunting of Bly Manor. If you want to watch along at home, it's available to stream on Netflix in Canada. And we'll be right back. All right, so we are back.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, it's really sad, man.
I was not expecting that at all.
What do you mean?
I feel like I've been hit with a train.
The scariest part of all is possibly crying in front of your friends.
I did cry, actually.
Yeah, me too.
I did cry. But that doesn't mean that I wasn't sad.
Mike, you're so strong.
You're so strong.
Or you're so weak, either or. One of the two.
I was blown away by that. Mm-hmm. What a time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting because, like, overall, in the first half, I was kind of like somewhat indifferent to it, to be honest, because I was like, something scary is happening. I don't understand what that thing is, so I'm not scared by it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's fair.
And then as this sort of love story blossomed, I was like, oh, this is really sweet. And then just sort of sadness. I'm like, oh, this is really sad because I really like those people. So even like with the amount of that I got to spend time with these characters, I really fell in love with these characters by the end of the episode.
Absolutely.
So I can only assume that if you had time with these characters from the beginning of the season series thing, then you probably would have all the more appreciation for them.
Mm, absolutely. It just like, it tears you apart knowing all the context behind it.
Yeah.
But like knowing that you guys like grew attachments to these characters after knowing them for like 40 minutes or something. Like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Who knows how you're going to feel after maybe rewatching it and then watching that last episode again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, I guess let's just jump into it, shall we? Okay. Mm-hmm. So it starts out, a lot of portraits, people are dead, ghosts. That's just the beginning. Then it goes to the kitchen where there's a lady and there's a guy and they're talking. And let me just say that that monologue was beautiful. That, like, that whole interaction between them, like, he didn't say much. It was mostly her talking. I found out her name is Hannah later. Just gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Oh, mm-hmm. I fell in love with her right there. And then
this is the only time that we see her in the episode. And it, they do seem to imply that she's dead later or that she's gone.
She says in the monologue, "I'm dead." So,
oh, okay. She shows how much I pay attention.
Fully said, "I am dead."
Like, I am dead.
She took a pause too. She said, "Everybody's dead, including me."
She looked directly at the camera and she said, "I am dead." What I didn't know at the time was that she was talking to Owen, but it wasn't actually Owen. Mm-hmm. It was a figment of her imagination or some manifestation of her love for him. And they're talking. It's very clear that she's in love with him. And then he starts saying, like, "Be brave in death. Don't do this. Go help me. You have to help me." I didn't really understand the context of what was going on, but it was still beautiful.
If I was to take a guess, he mentioned something about, so Owen shows up like maybe 20 minutes later and says something about, "I had the weirdest dream." Like, do you think that that could have been the dream? Is that what he was referring to? Or maybe he was referring to a dream from an earlier episode?
Ooh. Oh, I thought they said, no, there's not. I thought they said they had a nightmare.
Oh.
Or was it just?
I think it was a dream.
It was just a dream?
Yeah.
Maybe.
You don't remember?
I don't remember.
You're the expert here, man.
I don't recall a dream sequence from either Owen or, the gardener. What was their name again?
Jamie.
Jamie.
Yeah.
I knew that. It was a test. You write your notes.
I do write my notes. I wrote very good notes this time, actually, because I was typing this time instead of writing, meaning I could focus more on what I was doing.
Welcome to the future.
Yeah. Thank you for the suggestion and calling me like an old timer or whatever.
It's fine. You know, like, handwritten notes, they're a good time too.
Yeah, they're a good time too.
Just not as fast.
Uh-huh. So for your theory, Mike, I don't think that you're right, because I feel like it was, unless he was in the car sleeping, I feel like it maybe was too soon.
that whole sequence took place like in real time, potentially. Is that how you read it?
Yeah. I think she was, I feel like she was there and then he told her to go outside and help him because he was going to show up.
Oh.
And maybe like a sixth sense thing.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know. I have no context for anything.
It sounds like Michelle doesn't know either.
It sounds like, yeah, because no sound's coming out of this girl. I don't know. Well, like, what are you asking exactly? Like, if you're correct in which, like, the dream itself was Owen, like, that was what he saw in his dream?
I think Mike is asking if the dream that Owen mentioned 20 minutes later was him having that talk with Hannah.
I don't think so.
Okay. I don't think so either.
Because like what you said, it's the manifestation of him, mm-hmm, in Hannah's mind or her like ghostly world that she's now in. Mm-hmm. Speaking of ghosts, what do you think of the way that ghosts work if you in this show?
I don't understand how ghosts work.
Yeah.
What I understood was that they could go through each other because that happened at one point. I feel like there's no touching, but then there are these words.
Oh, because she was dead. That's why she went through her.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, because they were both ghosts.
Yeah, they were both ghosts, for sure. You got that?
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then there are like magic words that let you kind of inhabit a person, like the ghost.
Yeah, I guess we should continue with like the play-by-play of the... Where did we leave off?
Oh, yes. Kitchen. Okay. Yeah. Sorry. So anyways, Hannah goes outside and then she sees this lady with no face who's dragging a person by their neck into the manor. That was very scary for me. And I was holding my thingy really tightly. Pillow. It was a pillow. And I didn't understand what was happening. She was saying, Hannah was like, "Let her go, let her go." And then basically the lady doesn't stop and goes through her because ghosts.
Yeah.
Wait, but also the no-face lady picked up the little girl.
She's alive.
Sorry, we'll get there.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I just, like, I mean, like, okay, it's scary because, like, she carries her by her throat. She can't breathe. But it's also, like, I just feel like that's an inefficient way to, like, transport someone. Like, I don't...
Well, I mean, it looked scary, though. And I would hate that. And also, how did they film that?
That's a good question. I don't know.
I feel like that would be really dangerous. Also, that lady was just really, like, strong.
Yeah.
Because she's having no trouble carrying her up the stairs.
Ghosts are strong, man.
I guess so.
They have a goal in mind.
Yeah.
And strength means nothing.
But is she a ghost? Or is she, like, a revenant or something? Or, like, a zombie?
Okay. So, first and foremost, the reason why she has, like, no face is because, like, she was in the lake to begin with, and like over time your features fade, and then throughout the entire episode they were kind of talking about how like things are fading, or like I'm fading away, or like, you know, so the longer that she was in the lake, the more that she was kind of like fading, and so she became unrecognizable. But she was a lady that lived in the manor prior to this family living there now.
Okay
I think they while she was taking that lady up the stairs, there was actually like a shot on a portrait of a lady that looks similar to her. So I just assumed that was her.
Yeah.
Cool.
I mean, we did get like a little flashback, like snapshot of her face.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So like I don't know if that was the same lady, because I did not look at the portrait. I was busy focusing on the lady getting choked. Anyway,
yeah, that's fair. So, my eyes wander. What can I say?
So the reason why she's like, you know, carrying this person by the throat and just like meandering around the house is because she actually does follow a path like every night or every other night or something. And so she's not actually trying to like kill this person, but it just so happened that Danny was standing in the way of her path. So she's just continuing with her little ghost goal.
Like she happened to be in the path of her hand.
She was in her actual path, and then she was just like, move, and grabbed her.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
literally, like, move, you're in my way now.
It's not, she wasn't walking around like claw hands and was like, oh, who's gonna get it?
Yeah. She could not give two fucks about the people in her path.
It's like the figure of the Simpsons, like, if I go like get in the way, it's your fault.
Yeah. Literally.
Okay. So there wasn't meant to be any hostility behind the ghost doing that. It just was.
She's just filled with rage. There is an episode about the ghost's backstory.
Please enlighten us.
Okay. So the entire episode, this happens in the first series of the anthology, or the first season of it too. They always do like a flashback episode.
Okay.
And they're always amazing. So this one was set like way back in the olden times. I think we saw a little plague doctor hanging out at one point in this episode.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, from those times.
Yes. Plague doctor times.
So this lake lady with no face, she had a husband, and then the husband was having an affair with her sister, and there was just like a lot of stuff happening there. And then the lake lady, she eventually dies from a thing called the lung. And then she's like, oh, hey, husband guy, make sure that this chest isn't opened by anybody except for our daughter, who's going to take it as her inheritance. And then he's like, yeah, sure. She dies. They get into like financial distress. And then the sister's like, hey, dude, we need some money. I know their address is in here. And he's like, no, dude, we can't open that. And then she's like, screw you, opens the chest. And then the ghost lady is in the chest as a ghost and then kills her.
What?
Okay.
What?
So from there, just wait. They're like, the chest is cursed. And so they throw it into the lake. And that's how she's there.
What? Wait, sorry, you said that her ghost was in there, or her body was in there?
She possessed the chest as a dead ghost.
Oh, okay, as a ghost. Okay, yeah. Okay. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, she was like fully dead at that time.
Like if the daughter opened it?
Would it have cursed her?
Like it would have been fine?
Probably.
I mean, I guess. That's how curses work, right?
Yeah. Again, I keep asking you questions that you wouldn't know the answer to. It's like, where are the logistics seriously about? Okay.
Yeah, throw logistics out the window. We got ghosts and lake ladies out here. So she goes through the whole house looking for her daughter. She goes back to the lake.
And then she finds Flora there.
Yeah.
And that's why she takes her to the lake.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause she's like, I have a chest in here. that belongs to you.
Yeah. Doesn't that make sense?
Yes.
Makes sense
yes.
to me.
Okay, great.
Okay.
That Go actually, on. That clears up a lot of stuff for me.
Oh yeah.
Personally. Okay. Yeah. Great.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Let's talk about some characters for a second here. So Flora and Miles, our brother and sister, he shows up in the next scene because the lady is taking Flora and he's just sitting at the garden doing nothing about it.
Right. Miles. I remember him.
Miles. And then he says to Miss Jessel, mm-hmm. I think is what her name was.
Correct.
She was in this episode for like 2 seconds,
yep.
but I caught it. And he says, I gave you your freedom and now you're letting it drown. What was up with that?
Okay, here we go. So the way also that the ghosts work in this show is they can possess humans, mm-hmm. but it has to be like a verbal or consensual like agreement. Like, okay, you can take over my body.
That's the it's you, it's me, it's us.
Yes, but it doesn't have to be like a verbal thing. They can just be like, yeah, me, you, yeah, totes.
Okay,
and then
it's consensual,
right?
It has to be consensual between both parties.
Gotcha.
So Miles in that moment behind the bush with Miss Jessel, that wasn't Miles. That was that other dude that we might have seen for like 2 minutes. Also,
the one who said sorry. The ghost who said sorry to him.
He was a man.
Yeah, he was a man.
He had brown hair.
Had a jacket on.
Right.
Okay, that's kind of all the men in the show. Anyway. yeah, so that was like Miss Jessel's, I guess, boyfriend dude. Not I guess, like they were together, but I don't know if they like used labels. That's up to them. So he was in Miles's like body and then he was telling her like, okay, that you take that one, you take that human and then we will go.
Oh,
but Miss Jessel used to be the au pair for the children, so she's like obviously feeling conflicted about this
stuff. Oh.
And then the guy inside of Miles had like more questionable morals, so
right. Okay, I got none of that.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
Fair.
Now it gets to the part where the no-face lady is carrying Flora mm-hmm. and she's heading towards that lake to show her her box because she's mistaking her for her daughter, I'm assuming. And then Miss Jessel says, let me take the pain or something, like I'll make it easier or whatever, mm-hmm. and then asks to possess her.
Yeah.
I'm guessing. So was she doing that to steal the body and run away, or was she doing it to be like, you're about to die, but let me do that for you?
Oh, man. I don't know. There's debate about that. But I feel like she wanted to save Flora.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I feel like throughout the other episodes that I had watched, like she had decided like, no, I'm fully dead. Like I'm dead. And that's it for me. Like, she wasn't trying to escape anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But I might have missed a few details here and there because there are like arguments both ways.
Okay.
People are like, oh, yeah, she did want to leave. She wanted to leave with her boyfriend. And they would just go live off as two little English children
right.
together. Siblings, even. I don't
yeah.
know.
Yeah. Okay.
Right? So.
Okay.
And then, so what they call the possessions in this show are you being tucked away. So she goes like, oh, I can tuck you away. And then it brings them back to a memory that they relive and they're fine.
Right. And Flora saw her mother again,
yeah.
which was really sweet,
mm-hmm.
especially considering she was just about to die. And then the uncle shows up.
What happened to Flora's mother?
Both of their parents had died in the sea.
Oh.
At sea.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Which is why I'm guessing the uncle is the one taking care of them. Right.
That makes sense. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. He mainly just pays people to take care of the children over the summers, which is why they had all those other adults there.
Yeah. I kind of sensed that because later on, like he's hugging everybody and Danny is like, I'm really glad that you're like mm-hmm. here now and yeah. present for them.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, he shows up in the car and he sees Flora being taken away. So he goes to stop. I think her name is Viola. Is that the name of the ghost?
I'm going to say yes.
Okay, great.
Ghosty McGhost
I
Pants.
I take good notes. He tries to stop her and then he is basically she's a ghost and she has superhuman powers and she kills him or brings him onto the brink of death.
Mm-hmm.
And then she takes Flora into the lake. which again, I was on, let me just say that I was on edge for all of this. I was having a good time, but it was like my heart was like racing in a good way.
I was kind of bored by it, to be honest.
Really?
I'm sorry.
How are you not already invested in what was happening?
I was just like, maybe I'm desensitized by today's violence. I don't know. I was just like, she's just carrying her by her neck, which just seems unnecessary. Like,
to be fair, these aren't necessarily like scary scenes. They're more so just tense.
Yeah.
I was feeling that tension.
Okay, fair.
I was more like, and I get this way with shows sometimes when we watch them on this podcast. I just more frustrated that I couldn't really understand the mechanics of what was going on. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I was like, you know what I mean?
Like, honestly, that was the reaction of some people who had watched the entire season. So
yeah.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're trying to introduce like a new way that ghosts function inside of like a made up world, it's kind of difficult to get everybody on board.
Yeah, because ghosts only function one way, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like Casper.
Yeah, like Casper.
But, and that's the only way. Mm-hmm. No, yeah, but I had to like read through some like Reddit articles and stuff and kind of get my bearings, but
okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, okay, so Owen and Jamie show up and they say that they had dreams, so they came to the manor, and Hannah is there and she's like, what are you doing here, Owen, the love of my life? This place is dangerous, kind of idea, but also go to the lake because they need your help. This is when, and then Miss Jessel, like, does the mind thingy with, wait, who's the au pair?
Miss Jessel was the old au pair, but she's dead now. So Danny is the au pair.
Oh, okay.
What's an au pair?
Like a nanny.
It's like a nanny, but like from a different country.
Oh, okay.
You can, I was actually going to go travel as an au pair and be a person's nanny.
Whoa.
Oh.
But in a different country.
Right.
Yeah.
And instead you decided to do this podcast.
Well, this was quite a while ago. So then the au pair, the new one, Danny, runs. She was the one who was being choked, by the way. She was the one who was being like held throughout that entire time. And then she was let go. And then she runs back and she goes into the lake and she looks at Viola, the ghost lady, and says, it's you, it's me, it's us. Not quite understanding what she was saying, but like still, the ghost lady agreed to the possession, I guess. Mm-hmm. Thus saving the child and saving everybody. Henry also lived. He actually was a ghost, and then Hannah had a moment with him of like, tell Owen I love him. And I don't think that ever happened, and I'm a little bit upset about that, but that's fine.
Yeah. So is that exactly what it was? It's you, it's me, it's us was literally just a consent thing?
Yeah, that's the verbal contract.
Okay.
And then she was like, yeah, you know what?
How did she know about that? Did like some ghost person tell her that? Or
it just said... So it was never actually explained, but they just said like she felt it in her bones. Like she just strongly felt she had this urgency to say it.
To save the girl.
I don't think in the show they had ever shown Danny hearing those words specifically ever.
Right. But these are established words from like earlier in the show.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So it was a moment of significance for you. Mm-hmm. It's like, this is happening.
Yeah. I was still confused as to like how she knew, but I guess that's just how things work. Sometimes.
I mean, the narrator does say like she said these words not really knowing what was going on.
Yeah. Kind of. Now I'm the one just asking questions.
Why am I the expert in this?
So, okay. So why didn't she just possess her immediately? Like it's you, it's me. It's us. Like, cool. I guess I'll possess you in like a few years. See you later.
That's a good question, Mike. I don't know.
I don't think anyone would know, right? Maybe it was just like happiness. Happiness trumped it for a long time.
Ooh. But then does that imply that the children were not happy? I guess their parents died. So maybe it was easier for them to get possessed.
Oh, were they ever possessed by the lady?
No, only those two people, because the man used to work at the house and then the other lady was the au pair. So the children trusted them. It was like a full on, maybe it's a trust thing. Like Danny had no idea who this like lake lady actually was. So there was less trust there and therefore it took a little longer for it to actually implement.
Right.
I'm just throwing shit out there. So.
No, I mean, it's fun to discuss theories of stuff because it's, I feel like it's probably on purpose that there is no answer.
Okay. Sorry. I just had to, I never do this. But I have to. Hi, me, Callan, editor. Just quickly, listen, I mean, y'all haven't even talked about Danny's dead fiance. Okay. And you see, my theory is that, the lady of the lake, Viola was trying to possess her right away, but that she couldn't because Danny was fighting her off, because this tucking away thing goes both ways. And how was Danny able to keep her at bay? Like, she's struggling and fighting every day to keep her from taking over. It's because she has experience dealing with this, because her dead ex-fiance, who she broke up with and then basically caused his death, or she blames herself or whatever, was like stalking her. So she had to fight every day to keep him kind of from ruining her life. So listen, this is not her first rodeo. Okay. It's not her first ghost rodeo. Okay. She knows what she's doing, until she doesn't. But anyway, we'll just go back to, okay. Thank you. Thank you so much for, thank you.
I mean, it works better from like, first of all, you get to see this sad ending. Which for me personally, as the viewer who only watches the last episode of things, and I'm sure there's plenty of me out there, I would not have enjoyed this episode if it wasn't for the delayed response to that possession.
You know what it was, Mike? It was to show how much they loved each other so that it could break our hearts even more when it turns out they couldn't be together.
Yes, from a storytelling perspective, that is true. But also, it also works from like a horror perspective of like seeing the face starting to creep in over these. I'm getting ahead of us a little bit here, but in those moments was just a little off-putting, particularly for me. Well, I had no idea what was going on. So I was like, whoa, why did that face show up, sort of thing.
In the first episode, Danny has trouble seeing ghosts in mirrors and stuff.
Oh, interesting.
And reflections. So this wasn't like the first time that she was seeing faces, which is why she became an au pair in the first place, is because she was like, oh, I just need to get away.
Let me become an au pair. Yeah. Okay.
All right. So where are we at?
You left off at Hannah told Henry to tell Owen that she loves him.
Oh, right. And then that's when Miles, some guy said sorry to him and I had no clue who that was. And I was like, okay.
That was the man.
That was the man whose name we don't know, but that's okay. So the au pair, Danny, saved the little girl by inviting Viola into herself. And then whatever curse was on Bly Manor was like lifted and then all the ghosts went away.
Mm-hmm.
Everything trapped was set free kind of idea.
Yeah, why did that happen?
So like most of the deaths there, if not all, were because of the lady in the lake. They were in her path and then she would just mess them up and they're dead because of her, and they would just stick around in the house. So the way that that works is it's kind of so when the guy that possessed Miles died, he tried to just leave as a ghost, just walk out of the manor, but it would teleport him back to the place that he had died in every time.
Ooh.
Which is why their plan was to possess these children and then leave that way in their human bodies.
And then get out.
Okay. I see. So the man who said, I'm sorry, Miles, was the guy's or the woman's husband?
Like boyfriend, Miss Jessel's husband.
Right.
The one, yeah, he was trying to escape. And I think he said sorry because I think he had promised Miles that like he would never hurt them in a way,
mm-hmm.
but like either by staying too long or something, like Miles kind of knew that that wasn't right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So the source of all the ghosts' deaths had
it is the lady of the lake.
Yeah. So she left. And so they left.
Wow. So were the other ghosts causing shit disturbances as well?
Like, sort of. They were the cause of some jump scares here and there.
Mm.
But nothing really to do with the plot.
Right.
The other ghosts. Yeah.
Well, Jamie is not the au pair. I wrote that in my notes because I was unclear about their names.
She was the gardener.
She's the gardener.
Flowers played a big old part in this episode.
Right.
Big old flowers. The au pair is Danny. Danny is haunted now, but it's a very mild haunt. She has a beautiful monologue. Again, can I just say the monologues in this show? Holy smokes.
Yeah, so, man.
Danny was the blonde one?
Yes.
Yes.
With the two eyes.
Yeah. She had two eyes, yes.
Well, they were differently colored.
No, I know. I'm just being a dick.
Stop being a dick. Come on. What are you doing?
Yes. So she had the discolored eye because that's how you could tell she was haunted.
Yeah.
Is that really, like, did she have discolored eyes before?
No, I think she had blue eyes before.
One of her eyes changed colors.
Oh. Okay.
Okay. There's the tonal shift now after the monologue and after the sad part where Uncle Henry and the kids say that they're going to go to America. Danny's like, heck yeah, I would love to come visit you one time in America because I think we're going there too. And Danny and Jamie go together. Uncle's grateful. Danny's eye is discolored. Whoa, crazy. Everybody parts ways. They leave Bly Manor. Their hair changed in the next scene to show that time had passed. A year passed. Waiting for the beast in the jungle was something that they said constantly. It was part of the monologue. And it was like that, oh, the beast is coming in the jungle. It's always there. It's always there. It's always chasing me. They open a flower shop. More time passed. More hair changes. Many years. A lot of peace. Yeah. But then...
So the au pair was the girl who she loved?
The au pair was the blonde.
The au pair was the blonde. And then the girl was...
The gardener.
Gardener. Okay. Sorry. Continue.
Yeah. The one with the plaid.
Right.
That's how you can tell she was a gardener.
Yeah.
Don't laugh. Don't laugh at that.
No, it's the fact. You're right.
Gardeners wear plaid.
I know.
I thought you were just going to say that so you could tell she was a lesbian.
I know. That's what I thought she was going to say, too.
No. I was tempted, but I didn't. You said it.
Yeah, we did.
How dare.
They were wearing, like, the outfits that they were wearing were just screaming lesbianism, which I was really loving.
Mm-hmm. I absolutely loved their outfit.
The fashion choices were
oh,
like,
oh my gosh.
She was wearing at one point like a really the gardener was wearing like a onesie type thing, but then also a chain with like a lock on it. And I was like, okay.
Yeah, boy.
Listen, I know you don't need to peacock, okay? But also, this is great. It's a nice visual.
I'm curious about how gay this show is.
You're curious about how gay the show is?
Yeah.
Okay, I was just trying. Okay. Pretty gay, Mike. I quite love the way that it is gay because it's not blatantly gay. Right. You know what I mean? It flows. It's natural.
It's part of who they are. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
It's lovely. Oh my gosh. Even with like Owen and Hannah, just the way that their love evolves over the course of the episodes, it's just like, it's so sweet. And that's why it makes me cry at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Cute. Is the haunting of Hill House gay?
Is it gay? Yeah.
Awesome.
A little bit. Just a little bit.
Well, I mean,
much less so, but it is.
It's what I want. So yeah, that's great.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Then yeah, it is.
Awesome. Great.
The Lady of the Lake plays one of the gay people.
Oh.
Just a fun fact.
Nice.
In the first season.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh,
she's great.
Interesting. So like she plays a different character.
Yes, they all play different characters.
Don't they recycle all the actors?
Not all, I don't think.
Not all of them? Okay.
I don't think so.
Okay, great. So many years passed, but now she sees the Lady of the Lake in her reflection and she knows that she doesn't have much time left. So what does she do? She gets a plant. She kills it slightly.
No, it came killed. It came dead.
No, you don't know that.
I know it.
It was. She killed it slightly.
No. So,
by putting a ring into it. And then she put it in a pot. And then she was like, hey, I really want to fix this plant. And then she gave it to Jamie. And Jamie's like, okay, I'll fix it. But also, I'm shite at cooking. Loved the accent, by the way. And opens it. Oh, God. Oh, there's a ring. That's what was killing the plant. She was poisoning that plant to do that.
No, stop. Okay. First of all, this is my favorite scene of the entire show.
I actually really...
Why are you shitting on it?
I'm making a joke, okay? I loved it. I loved how cute it was. I love that she gave the ring and she's like...
Oh my God.
It's because...
It's a beautiful scene.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful scene. It's super well written. And it's just like, as an actor, I want to do that scene because it's so... She's giving her a ring because she wants to spend the rest of her life with her, even though she knows she's going to die soon. That is a beautiful thing. And that is a hard scene. And that is gorgeous to watch.
Mm-hmm.
I'm making a joke, but I loved it. Chef's kiss. Okay. Chef's kiss.
Yeah. I'm obsessed with that scene. I had to tell everybody about it.
Like, I'm pretty sure you've told me about this scene and now I've seen it.
Yes. Yeah. I did tell you. You were like one of the first people that I like ran to and I was like, oh, so like, what's your dream proposal? Because I just saw a pretty good one. Oh my God. And then I think you said horses would be involved. I don't know. Anyway, besides the point.
Wait, is this when you talked about...
I don't want to talk about it anymore.
No, we have to talk about it.
No.
You don't have to talk about it if you don't want to. She doesn't have to talk about it on the podcast.
Yeah, Melody.
It's fine.
They'll never know.
Okay, fine. Okay, so it's a beautiful scene. It's also... it's very poignant too because they can't actually get married in whatever era this is. And yes, very beautiful, very, very gorgeous. They go visit Owen. Owen has opened a restaurant just as Hannah said he would. There's a photo of her there. And then through this conversation with Owen, they come to realize that the children don't remember like the ghosts at Bly Manor.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of all their memories and like details are kind of fading away, kind of, I guess. And there's this one part where Danny sees the reflection and that kind of takes my attention away from whatever they're saying for a second. But then she comes back and then she hears that the children don't remember Hannah. And I can see in her mind that it's like, oh, she's the Lady of the Lake right now. And she wants Flora to remember her. And then if she doesn't remember Hannah, then she doesn't remember Viola or whatever. And it was just like this really, really cool. It was a really great choice on the actress's part. I was just like, whoa, that was amazing.
Is Hannah the Lady of the Lake?
No.
Which one was Hannah?
The Lady in the Well.
She had the monologue at the very beginning.
Yeah. Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. So they don't remember her. So therefore she would remember the Lady of the Lake.
Yeah.
Got it.
That was just my interpretation of the scene. That was... let me just confess, this show made me really excited about acting again. And so I was like kind of picking apart the scenes being like, oh, what choices are they making? Oh, how could they make it different or whatever? And that was just like a really, really great choice because it's kind of like she's losing herself more and more. Right.
I think that's interesting, Melanie, because I read it completely differently, but I like yours better.
What's yours?
I thought that Danny had reacted that way. So because she said she doesn't remember Hannah, and which means she doesn't remember Danny literally saving her life and like basically screwing her own life over. So my way is more cynical.
So
I was reading that as Danny's like, so I did this all like to not be remembered, basically. But like the character Danny would probably never think that way. That's just how I read her face in that specific moment. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Interesting.
That's how I would feel.
Really?
I'd be like, are you fucking serious?
I love picking apart scenes like this, though, because it's like everybody has a different interpretation of something as simple as like her face moving. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how good this series that's how good this episode was to me, that it was like there was a lot going on and they could be saying nothing.
Yeah,
that's exciting to see. That's hilarious, though. I love the cynical the cynical point of view from you guys. Salute to Hannah. So just as more and more time goes on, basically, Danny is seeing the reflection more and more. And it's getting worse. But Jamie is still hopeful for like more years to come. And she says something really beautiful about how, like, if you can't feel anything anymore, I will feel for both of us. Everything's fine, one day at a time. Super heartbreaking. Then there's more time passes. She changes again. A lot of hairdos, a lot of different clothing. It's great. They get a civil union. Very exciting. I don't know why the other person couldn't be there for that. I feel like both people need to be there in order to make a civil union. I'm not too sure.
Yeah. I also wasn't clear about why they couldn't get married. Was this like pre-legal gay marriage?
It was definitely pre-legal gay marriage.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was set in the 80s.
80s. Okay. Got it.
And then you see water on the floor. And I was imagining the worst. I thought she had committed suicide or something, but she was just staring. She was staring into the water. Still not a great thing because she was seeing a ghost or whatever. And then there's a beautiful scene between Danny and Jamie again, just kind of reiterating what was going on. And, you know, the idea that it was like, it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking. This idea that you're being taken over by a person. And then for the first time, you see that the Lady of the Lake is like attempting to kill Jamie, the gardener. And it's just so heartbreaking. The idea of being taken over by a person who is going to kill the love of your life. Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So of course, Danny runs away. And the next scene, I think she goes back to Bly Manor, Jamie, the gardener. And it's as if she knows exactly what's happened already. So she goes to the lake and she swims into it. And in the water, you see a new lady of the lake who is Danny. And then the narrator starts talking and it's just like tears are rolling down my eye because she's like, and she's begging. She's saying the words, you, me, us, like take me, kill me, let's be together and blah, blah, blah. But Danny wouldn't do that. So she lives. And sometimes it's a curse to live, right? Like, mm-hmm. And she wants to be haunted.
Some good shit, man. Some good shit.
Good shit. This show's got me really excited. Mm-hmm. And then there's another pivot where we go into a room with a bunch of people in a very Victorian style of telling a story in a living room because there's no TV and listening to that person tell a story. And then it turns out it's the narrator who's played by the mom from Spy Kids. I recognized her immediately and I was like, who is she? Where is she from? What is she doing? Yeah, it's the mom from Spy Kids and she's cool.
She is cool.
I didn't understand what was going on there. I understand now, but it was okay. Just very jarring to be like, did they cut to these people a lot throughout the show?
Yes.
Okay.
Or in the first episode, it begins with them.
Okay.
It's a little sandwich.
Mm. Oh, it's a little sandwich. So they ended with the story finishing.
Yes. The narrator speaks throughout the entire series, though.
Okay. I kind of figured that. She sounded really cool.
And do we know that it's the same girl?
Yes. It is later revealed. I think that's up to...
But, like, is it obvious that they're the same people to you?
Oh, gosh, no, no, no. Like, it's revealed at the same time as it was revealed when we all saw it together. Like, mm-hmm. throughout the show, you're just like, that's just some random lady. These are some random people she's talking to. She's just telling a story around a fire.
Is it, like, it's not the same actress, is it?
Mm-mm.
Okay, got it. I was like, should I recognize this person? Sorry, Melanie.
It turns out, so everybody leaves because it's nighttime or whatever, and they go to bed. And then the bride stays and she talks to the lady who told the story. And they talk about how this ghost story is actually a love story and how that's kind of the same thing, at least for the narrator, I guess. And they hug. And I immediately caught on to the fact that the ring, she was wearing the same ring as Jamie. And I was like, oh, shit, is this Jamie? And then the bride is like, oh, also great use of names because they are like really coincidence or whatever, because my middle name is Flora. And then you're like, oh, shit, is that Flora? And I was like, they don't remember. Mm-hmm. They don't remember things. They don't and then she said Bly Manor's not real. And I was like, very confused. Is Bly Manor not real?
No, it's real. But she, for when she was narrating the story, she had changed details and stuff. So I think in real life, it's not called Bly Manor or something.
It's Hill House.
Imagine.
It's called Bly House.
Bly House.
Bly House, got him.
Okay, so she changed details probably to hide the fact. But why does she remember?
Why does the gardener remember?
Why does the gardener remember?
Okay, I feel like the children don't remember because one, childhood trauma, and two, perhaps because they spent a lot of the time being tucked away by the ghosts that they were being possessed by.
Oh.
So that's maybe the reason why their brains didn't retain the details that they should have or something.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
That makes sense.
So, yeah, that's really cool. Yeah. And then Jamie, who we find out is the narrator, is at a wedding, and it's Flora's wedding. And you see all these unrecognizable actors, at least for the show, are there. And then it kind of shifts and you see that it's actually Owen and Miles and all of the characters that we came to know and love, except the ghosts because they're gone. And then, Jamie talks about how she this is another heartbreaking thing of how she was Jamie would look into reflections to hope that she would see Danny, or that she leaves the door slightly ajar, hoping that she'll walk through the door. And she actually leaves the wedding, and you see her set all of that up too before she goes to bed. And then in a moment of hope, I guess, there's a hand that shows up on her shoulder, and it looks like Danny's. And it was so, so sad. So good.
It's so sad.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
This show. Those are all my notes. That's my recap. But Jesus.
Mm-hmm. You know that episode in Futurama where the dog's just waiting for.
Yes.
It reminds me of that.
And it's so heartbreaking because Fry thought that he lived a full life, but he was actually just waiting for him.
Yeah, dude.
Oh my God.
Oh.
This is sad. I wasn't expecting this. I was expecting to be scared.
You know, I was too.
Not emotionally scarred.
It's been a while. I forgot that this episode was going to just shred me to pieces.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's because I just fully removed the memory of me crying in front of my friends the first time I watched it. So here I am again. Hello.
My gosh. Mike, did you have any other questions? I kind of went through all my notes.
I think I got it. I'm kind of curious about the connection, at a high level, the connection between the two series. You mentioned that they reuse actors, but they're playing different characters. You also mentioned that a lot of the rules around the ghosts are the same. Is there anything else that really connects the two series?
The way that the shows work is they're kind of just based off of stories that already exist. So I think this one was based off of a novella called The Turn of a Screw.
Mm.
The director mentioned it a couple times in an interview. It was by a person called Henry James. And then every episode is a title of one of their works. So Beast of a Jungle is another title of another story that they had written. They all kind of just hint towards a past work. And the first one also does the same thing.
Hmm. Okay. Neat. So then a third one would potentially be a different author with a different story sort of thing.
Mm-hmm, potentially. And they're potentially going to do another flashback episode that seems kind of detached from the story itself, but actually makes things make so much more sense.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else I don't think I have anything else to bring up necessarily. I just look at my notes. My notes are just, I feel like I should stop taking notes that are just literally what happened and should more write down my questions.
That's my job because I have to do the recap. You need to do questions.
Yeah. What's the deal with the moonflower, man? What was the...
Oh, yeah. Good question.
Good question, Mike. So the moonflower, oh my gosh. Okay, so sorry. Jamie and Danny share a wonderful scene as they're beginning to get to know each other, one of the previous episodes. And at one point, there is another monologue. This whole show is littered in monologues, but they are in front of a bunch of moonflowers and they just start talking about it. I don't remember the details, but it was very beautiful and it made me cry. But that's the significance of the flower.
Aww, okay, so it's like a callback to that.
A little throwback, yeah.
Sorry, there was something else I wanted to say about the mom from Spy Kids.
Oh, yeah?
So when she was talking to the bride, she had a different accent as the narrator, but while she was talking to the bride, she brought back the accent when she was Jamie, just slightly, just like a little bit to be like, to have a little hint that this was the same person.
A little treat.
I was just like, it blew me away. I was like, whoa, what a choice. That was amazing.
Yeah.
When you say the mom from Spy Kids, isn't like Salma Hayek the mom from Spy Kids?
No.
Okay.
Oh, are you thinking of the grandma from Spy Kids? No, Salma Hayek was the mom for sure, right?
It's Carla Gugino.
The mom?
She's the mom from Spy Kids, isn't she?
I'm pretty sure Salma Hayek is the mom from Spy Kids.
Okay, here, let me just go onto the IMDb page right now.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm going to go down to Spy Kids.
We have to bleep it out every time if she's wrong.
She's Ingrid Cortez.
Uh-huh.
And Ingrid Cortez...
Is that the grandma?
You realize she's a young woman, right?
No, I know, but why do I remember, like...
Ingrid Cortez is the mother of Carmen and Junie Cortez and the wife of Gregorio Cortez, who is played by Antonio Banderas.
Is this like a Shazam situation or Kazam situation?
That's what I was thinking.
I'm telling you, she's the mom. It's not Selma Hayek.
It's the Berenstain Bears situation. In Mike and I, in our universe, it's Selma Hayek.
Why?
I don't know. She had like red hair, right?
Okay, and it was
like
short, hold on. And like curly. She is on the Spy Kids wiki, but it doesn't say why.
No, I believe you. I believe you, queen.
What, you don't think my wikiing skills are good enough for you, Michael? I just told you, I looked at her IMDb, then I looked in her wiki page. I'm telling you that this is the woman who played the mother in Spy Kids.
Hey, let him fact check.
Okay, she played a character in Spy Kids 3, so that's why. I guess I never saw Spy Kids 3, so I don't know why. Maybe I just assume Robert Rodriguez just uses her in everything, but anyways, this has nothing to do with Flaunting and Fly Manor.
Anyways, how did we get here?
Do we want to move on?
I'm down.
Melanie,
say you were wrong.
Oh, I'm so wrong. Holy shit. Okay. Melanie is so... Okay, let's get this on record.
I really wanted you to give me more resistance to this, but I'll take it.
No, I am shocked. I appear to have a Mandela effect situation happen to me, and I am so apologized. So sorry about
it's
that.
It's okay. She's going to cut all of this anyways.
She didn't.
So, Michelle, what does this show mean to you?
Oh, man, it means a lot. Not many things make me cry. Okay, that's a lie. I cry at, like, everything that I see on a screen. I love horror as a genre, and I love when it isn't just, like, cheap jump scares. And you guys might have noticed there's probably zero in this episode. Maybe one or two. I don't know. I couldn't tell. But if they jump scare you, they do it respectfully in this show. Same goes for the first season. When you get jump scared, you want your secondary feeling after the fear and shock to be, yeah, I was deserving of that. You don't want it to be like, that was cheap. That I feel scammed out of my emotion. So this show just does it. It's so carefully crafted and you can tell. And there are so many frames in the show where you can just like, take a screenshot and then just like have it as a poster. It's so beautifully shot as mm-hmm. well. And then like, not to mention the writing and the acting, it's just every detail. I had little to no complaints. My favorite part though about this season in particular was the fact that they never gaslit Dani when she said that she was seeing stuff. So throughout the show, she's like, oh, I just saw this dude. Like I saw this guy. And they know that it's like kind of impossible for people to just be on the property, but they were never like, no, you're crazy. Like, stop. They were always just like, okay. And they would like get their guns and they would go looking for like with her. And in so many other horror shows or movies, they're like, you're crazy. And then like people start dying.
Yeah.
But with this, you can tell like the characters really grow to love each other and they will protect each other. And it's just, it's pretty rare with this genre. So I love
nice.
That. Oh my God.
That's really great.
Awesome. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. And I feel like that extended to the ending too, when she started losing her mind, is that her love was always like there for her and was like listening to her when she said that she's seeing stuff in the reflection is like, okay, well, I'll do the dishes now sort of thing. You know what I mean? Yeah. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the fact that it ends on the wedding, like of Flora, and then all of these characters are still there and are still loving each other,
yeah.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
It was, I just loved that. I just love, and this show is truly a love story. Like, mm-hmm. It is kind of spooky and scary at some points, but it's mainly about the way that the characters interact with each other. And we're not talking about the first season, but it does that as well, where it's not really about the scares that you get. It's about how a family will come together and just learn how to cope with trauma that way. But, you know, this is Bly Manor. It's not Hill House. So
that's really awesome, though. Mm-hmm. That's great.
Yeah, dude. It's so good. Who was the director? Mike Flanagan. Mike Flanagan's got like the biggest brain.
Big old brain.
Big old galaxy brain.
All right. Well, shall we review?
So as an actor, I'm loving everything about this show. The writing, the way that it looks, the acting, the monologues, which I'm going to research afterwards and then transpose if they don't already exist. And the fact that it's not super horror based. You know, like I got that there were some scary parts because I'm a big old scary cat. So just seeing a woman without a face was enough to freak me out. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't lingering on the horror, and the fact that there is more to it than that, there is more depth to that, which I saw in this episode, kind of sold me on it completely. For me, this was a wild ride, an amazing ride. Holy crap. I'm going to give it 10 inheritance boxes that can only be opened by my daughter out of 10.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I appreciate the context. I am going to rate the episode on its own merit, which, as I said before, I didn't really care for the first half of the episode, and I really enjoyed the second half. I will give it 8 moms from Spy Kids out of 10.
Selma Hayek?
Potentially.
Oh my God. I give it a good old 9.75 Faceless Ladies of the Lake out of 10.
I feel bad for that 0.75.
0.25 missing of the face.
Part of the face.
It's just like. So it's like the 9.75 is a reference to the fact that 9.75 of the lady is there, but their face is the 0.25 that's missing.
Exactly.
Okay, I get it.
Oh, he gets it.
Oh, wow, you guys meshed on that. I just assumed that it was like you cut part of her face off.
That's gruesome. What, do you think this is a horror episode?
I thought it was a horror. And I'm not disappointed it wasn't like totally a horror.
Yeah, I wouldn't let you suffer like that.
So, Melanie, I feel like I know the answer to this already, but are you going to go back and watch the rest of this series?
Yes, but I really want somebody to watch it with me so that I can like cuddle with them and like put my face in their chest when I'm scared. Michelle, would you volunteer?
Yeah, it's a beautiful show. You have to watch the first season too, though.
Okay, fine.
What if that person had no face?
Oh yeah.
It might make it better for me. Are we talking a helmet? Are we going back to Pedro Pascal right now?
No, it's just like they literally have no face.
Oh, okay. If it's Pedro Pascal's body, yes. I'm kidding. A no face person would probably not do it for me. Honestly, I'll probably just watch it with a pillow, my good old pillow, my seal pillow, who looks really angry. Mm-hmm. He'll protect me.
That's a face.
Okay, so would I go back and watch this show? Absolutely, 100%. This was amazing. Again, it's a show that's making me excited about acting. Which I don't know if that means anything to anybody else, but to me, it means a lot. Mm-hmm. So
I'm kind of torn because like the horror aspect didn't really do it for me. So then like how much of it is horror, the drama and the love story that I liked, and how much of it is the horror bullshit of like, oh no, he's got dragging by her neck, you know, sort of thing.
Why is that horror bullshit?
I don't know.
Was it like watered down horror? Did it feel like lukewarm horror?
It's just, I don't find it intriguing, I guess. I don't know. Like, oh, the ghost, it needs to go around and it needs to do the same thing all the time. It's like, but why though? And then it's like, because that's what it did and that's what it needs to do. And I'm like, that explanation frustrates me. I like logical explanations for everything. And, you know, I like sci-fi over fantasy for this exact reason. I think we've talked about this before, but I don't know. I don't know if it would be my, like, I would have to watch more, but I do think that the show was really well done and I would like to see more well done things. So like, maybe I would watch it. This is a maybe.
Hard maybe. Solid.
Michelle, would you go back and watch the show?
I already have. Like, I watched it, and then after my friends, like, I was watching it with two other friends. One was actually Alice, and the other was her girlfriend, Thea. We watched it together, and they like to, when they're scared, they like to chit-chat and talk over the show so that they stop getting scared from it. Mm. So that kind of took away from it. I love them to death. But mm-hmm. I just wanted to watch it by myself. So as they had left, I was like, okay, I'm just going to rewatch it. So I watched it like immediately after watching it. And then since then, nothing. But would I watch it a third time? Yeah, probably.
Cool. I asked you that question as a joke, but I appreciate how much detail you went into for that.
No, man.
No, that's great.
Of course.
Love it.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted.
Okay. So here's the thing, Melanie.
Yeah. What's up?
People don't send us emails.
What?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure you know this because you're the one who has access to the email account.
Yeah, I am. I am the one who said people don't send us emails.
That's so weird.
How dare?
If only someone would send an email, maybe someone listening to this.
Yeah. Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
Nice segue. It was like really good.
I don't know if I liked it, honestly.
Really?
It just seemed a little passive aggressive. Be like, why haven't you fucking sent us an email yet?
That's what we need. That's the energy you want.
Dessert Before Breakfast is hosted by Mike Dorval and Melanie Germain. Editing by me, Callan Dorval. Music by The Brass Action. Send us a voice message by using the link in the description or email us at dessertbeforebreakfast@gmail.com.
No, I like you guys. Callan, cut that out. I don't like them anymore. I hate them.